Hey, good morning. Welcome to IC Maidon Church at Home. Welcome to all of you guys. I'm so happy to see all of your happy, beautiful faces here with me today. And we have a special time today. I'm sure you have it ready there. We're having communion together. So we'll have that near the end of this service. And today is the end of the Hey Jude series. So we're finishing the book of Jude and looking at what Jude leaves us with. After all of the warning he offers us, how does it leave us? And what does it leave us thinking? And what actions do we need to take? You know, I was thinking about, because I was thinking about warnings, and when I thought about what Jude was telling us, I was thinking about the TV show, I think it's called Fool Us, you know, with Penn and Teller. Any of you guys watch that? And the whole idea, Penn and Teller are master magicians. Do you guys like, I love seeing those. It's like sleight of hand and illusion. So Penn and Teller are master magicians, and the show is Fool Us because other magicians come on the show and they do their tricks and they try to fool Penn and Teller. They try to do it, and if you can fool them, you win the prize. And then I think you get to go with them to like Las Vegas and perform in their show. But why it's difficult to fool these guys is because they're master magicians. They've seen the tricks. They know most of what's going on. So when someone does their trick, usually they can tell them, and they use a code so they don't give away the magician's secrets, but they'll explain, I think you did this, and maybe you had this going on, and no one understands the code. But the person realizes, oh, I didn't fool you because you knew what my trick was. You know what I was doing. And when I read this and think about Jude writing this warning to us, he's giving a warning to the church. And it was because there was a threat that false teachers were trying to fool the church. I mean, that's the whole reason for a warning. There's false teachers coming. There's these apostates, you know, the word we were using, apostates, people who have fallen away from the truth or the real faith, and they're going to try to fool us. So Jude's telling the church, they're coming and they're going to try to fool you. They're going to try to trick you. And so Jude reveals the tricks, because when we know the enemy's trick, we can't be fooled, right? It's so important. It's what so much of Scripture does. It tells us, hey, here's what the enemy is going to try to do. Here's what he's done for years. And here's how you can avoid falling into the same trick and the same trap. So you can hear Jude sounding this alarm. And he even says, I want to remind you. He's saying, remember, I want to remind you. And then he gives us this history lesson of our faith. And his warning is, don't be fooled and don't be a fool. I mean, that's what he's telling us. Don't be fooled by these people. And you don't be a fool yourself and be like them. So Jude gives these three examples of Cain and Balaam and Korah, the three that we've talked about over the last several weeks. Their character was to rebel against God's authority, to rationalize or justify sin, and to reject God's messengers. Because God was constantly sending messengers, and these people that have fallen away, they rejected those messengers. They thought they knew a different truth, a better way, or whatever the things they were teaching, they didn't want to receive who God was sending. So our character should be the opposite of that. We should recognize God's authority. We should repent of sin, not try to explain, well, here's the justification. No, we repent of sin and we receive God's messengers. So in verses 12 through 16 of Jude, he describes this falling away from the truth, and he describes these people, and he gives, it's about six, seven descriptions of them. He says that they are stains or blemishes at our feasts. I mean, when you think of a stain, I was thinking at our house, any of you guys that have been to our house, I think all of you guys have it at one time or another, we have a white sofa set. Have any of you ever tried to keep a white sofa clean? I mean, it was trendy and it looks beautiful, but as soon as it came into the house, I mean, when you're drinking coffee or something, you have to be, you're like trembling, like one drop and it's stained. Or if you're ever sitting there doing work, which often we are, and you lay your pen down and it leaves a pen mark. I mean, it's so hard to get clean. It gets stained so easy. And so when you think about a stain, it causes something beautiful to be flawed. It causes something beautiful to look dirty. Like 99% could be clean, but one drop of coffee on it. And if you're like me, if I walk in the living room, I will just see that one spot. It's like the whole thing's ruined. It's stained. So Jude said that these people, they are stains, or blemishes is another word, meaning they will sit with us in our gatherings, even eat with us, and they have no shame. Shameless. Ta'tao malu, right? You know what I mean? You've probably experienced this, that someone could sit with you and eat with you and pretend like they're one of you without any shame. And maybe you're thinking like, how can people be like this? It made me think of the painting, The Lord's Supper. You know, that beautiful painting. It's even in one of our restaurants here in Maidon. I've seen it, the Lord's Supper. And even in that painting of this beautiful image, there is a stain there. The stain is Judas. I mean, this beautiful picture of this beautiful event. Jesus is with his disciples and remembering, you know, they're talking about what is about to happen. It's what we're going to remember today. But if you look at that painting, you notice this stain, and it's Judas, because he wasn't one of them. His heart was different. He was going to betray Jesus. So forever, this painting, as beautiful as it is, Judas was a stain at the Last Supper. He had fallen away. The second description of these people is that they are selfish shepherds. They just use people and abuse people, and it's all to get what they want. It's all to get help with receiving power for themselves. Like Korah, we talked about last week. He used those other guys, 250 people. He gathered them with himself. It was all to build himself up. And in the end, all of those men were doomed with him, because he just simply used them to try to overthrow Moses. Jesus had the opposite heart. Jesus had a servant's heart, not a selfish shepherd. Not another translation of this is someone who only feeds themselves. A shepherd who only feeds himself. Imagine a shepherd whose sheep are starving. But Jesus was the one who came and sacrificed himself for the sheep. He wasn't anything like this. It says that they are, number three, empty clouds. Now, that doesn't sound so bad in Maidon. I mean, the Hujan has been crazy lately. I mean, and the flooding, and it seems like it's always Hujan Duras, right? It's heavy rain. So if we heard a description of empty clouds or clouds without water, in Maidon we might say hallelujah, right? But if you're a farmer and you need something to grow, you're working and you're dependent on rain, you're dependent on something coming from the cloud that's expected, you would be so disappointed and maybe even frustrated. So false teachers and false prophets are referred to by Jude as empty clouds, because they promise a lot and produce nothing. That you see it, wow, it's so big, and it's this great promise, but nothing comes from it to help anyone. Number four is dead trees. I mean, that was an easy description, because we know in Matthew that we're told that we will recognize by their fruit, you will recognize them. We're all known by our fruit, all of us, whether it's good fruit or bad fruit. People can look at the fruit. They should be able to see the fruit in our life. What we do, what we say, what comes out of our life, people can tell what kind of tree. Dead trees. It says in the scripture, twice dead or double dead. I mean, that is dead, dead, right? Then raging waves, loud and produce only destruction. You know, the other thing that raging waves do, if you've ever seen the beach, like after a storm, a raging storm or the waves, it just stirs up a lot of dirt and trash, and the beach will look stained and blemished. It's this description, raging waves. They just stir up things. They're loud and cause destruction. And number six is wandering stars. You know, if you see a fixed star, meaning it's fixed in a location, that's very helpful. I mean, it gives guidance. It can help a traveler know which way to go. I remember when we were in Mentawai, We were out in the ocean. We were in a canoe for 5 hours going across the ocean at night. I mean, it was pitch black out there. You couldn't see anything. Canoes don't come with headlights, you know? If you've been in a canoe, there's no like, how do I turn the lights on? There's no lights. There's nothing there. But the pastor that was driving the canoe, he told us he could find the way back home by watching the stars. In the midst of all the blackness of night, he could follow the star, and it led him on the right path. But a wandering star, a star that moves around, it will lead you astray. It will cause you to get lost. If we were out in that ocean following a wandering star, I wouldn't be here today. I would be fish food, which was my fear the entire time. I don't like being anywhere where there's things under me that can eat me. I hate that. But we made it because of the fixed stars. And number seven, and I think probably worst of all, they are grumblers and fault finders. Again, this is like Korah. Always looking for fault, always criticizing the leader. He's constantly looking at Moses. Oh, this could be like this, or this could be better. I wish I was doing this or that. I could do so much better. It's always finding fault. And it's not just for leaders. It's for all of us. I mean, every single one of you sitting here, I'm sure, there's someone in your life that all they do is find fault. It's a drain to hang out with them. You know, if you hang out with people that are positive and encouraging and lift you up, those are people I look for. But if you're hanging out with someone that just pick apart everything you do and everything you say, that's how these people are, grumblers, fault finders. I mean, I mentioned last week, Korah gets to be known throughout history as the critic of the greatest leader in history. That is a horrible title. Moses is one of the greatest leaders in history, and Korah is known as Moses' critic. I mean, that's horrible. Jude tells us that they will be judged. That's why it's a warning to us, not only not to be fooled by them, but not to be fools ourselves, because all of these people who behave like this, Jude says, they will be judged. And the people who are foolish enough to live like them will be punished. The warning is, don't be foolish like them. Don't be fooled by them, and don't be distracted by them either. For some of us who we're not following in that way, and we're definitely not acting like that, the threat we could come under is being distracted by them. You know, we all have a purpose. Every one of you sitting here, you have an important purpose. God has called you to do something. All of you at home, God has a purpose for your life. And often we can't fulfill our purpose because we are distracted by the Cains and the Balaams and the Korahs that surround us. And we can't do what we're supposed to do. So what I'm saying in this closing message for Jude, the warning is to encourage us that when we encounter the Cains and the Balaams and the Korahs of this world, that we would be prepared so we can survive and thrive. That's why we called this, Hey Jude, a Survivor's Guide. This is teaching us how to survive. So, four quick points to close with of how we can survive and thrive in the midst of all the craziness in this world and the people around us. Number one is, do not allow the enemy to surprise you. That's why I mentioned that show, Fool Us. Because if we know the enemy's tricks, we don't have to be fooled anymore. We don't have to be surprised. If you know something's coming, it can't surprise you, right? In Jude chapter 1, verse 17, Jude says, but dear friends, remember what the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ foretold. They said to you, in the last times there will be scoffers who will follow their own ungodly desires. These are the people who divide you, who follow mere natural instincts and do not have the Spirit. He's warning, hey, remember what was said. For all of us now and all of us in this series and all of these weeks, we're being reminded. Jude is saying, hey, remember what was said. I'm telling you again, remember. You don't need to be surprised by things that happen to you or happen around you when you've already been warned. We don't have to be surprised. You know the enemy's tricks, so you don't have to be fooled. And he's saying, watch out for those who try to divide and make you bitter. We all have to be on the watch for that. Jude's telling us, Peter mentioned the same thing. So many in Scripture mention it. This is what's going to come. The enemy can't take away your salvation, so he will try to trick you, and he will try to lead you astray, and he will try to get you so distracted that you're like a dead tree. You're not doing anything good. You're like a wandering star. You can't guide anyone else. When we are told to be bright and shining, we're the ones that are supposed to guide the way. So if we're lost and wandering, imagine if someone follows us. We don't want to lead someone to doom like Korah did. The second thing is, do not allow the enemy to stop you. Don't allow him to surprise you. Don't allow him to stop you either. Jude chapter 1, verses 20 through 21, it says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. So he's saying, don't let the enemy stop you. Keep building yourself up. Keep growing. Keep learning more. Keep growing nearer to God. Keep reading the Bible. He's saying, remember God's word. That's how we keep building ourselves up. Remember God's word. In Matthew 7, 24, Jesus said, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. I mean, when you build your life on God's word, you will be wise. We don't have to worry about being fools. If we build our lives on his word, we'll be wise. He says, pray in the Spirit. And what he's meaning here is praying as the Spirit leads you. Pray in the Spirit. I mean, it's praying not from our own will, but praying as the Spirit leads us. What does the Spirit lead? It's not a selfish prayer. It's not anything about how my flesh leads me. Oh, I need this. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. Bless me, Lord. It's how is the Spirit leading me? Because our prayers should make the world a better place. Our prayers should change our city. I mean, we've all heard this before. If our prayers are only impacting our life, that's a weak prayer because we have a big purpose. I read this quote about prayer. It says, prayer is not getting man's will done in heaven. It is getting God's will done on earth. Well, that's what prayer is about. It's not about my will at all. It's about what is the Spirit leading? How can I get God's will done on earth? It's through praying. So Jude says, continue to build yourself up by remembering God's word, by praying in the Spirit, by keeping yourself in God's love. John 15, 10 says, if you keep my commands, you will remain in my love. This is all about obedience. I want to keep myself in God's love. Well, follow me. Do what I say to do. Jesus had said, John said in 1 John, whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. So if we want to remain in his love, we're obedient to his word. We not only remember it, we do it. And then we remain in his love. The final one is watch and wait of how to build ourselves up. We remember God's word. We pray in the Spirit. We keep ourselves in his love. And then we watch and wait. That's just all about keeping yourself ready for the return of Jesus. Being ready. We don't have to be surprised. I mean, how horrible if we, the church, God's people, the Christians, if we're surprised one day when Jesus comes back and we're like, oh my gosh, I wasn't ready. I would have done so much better. I would have done more things. I didn't know it was going to be so soon. I was going to do something for you, but I got busy. I don't want to be surprised by Jesus coming back. Right? How long have we all known Jesus is coming back someday? How could we be surprised by that? He's told us. So when we're watching and we're waiting, we're ready. We keep ourselves ready for Jesus' return. Number three, the final action for us based on this warning, do not allow the enemy to surprise you. Do not allow the enemy to stop you. Do not allow the enemy to suffocate you, to choke you. You ever feel like the enemy is suffocating you? Sometimes it's just like feels like things are closing in around you. Jude says in verses 22 to 23, he says, be merciful to those who doubt. So he's saying, in spite, there's going to be people around you that disappoint and frustrate. There's going to be people around you that don't like you or attack you or talk bad about you. But in the midst of this, we need to keep being merciful. Don't let the enemy suffocate you. He says, be merciful. In verse 23, save others by snatching them from the fire. To others, show mercy mixed with fear, hating even the clothing stained by corrupted flesh. Jesus told a parable once about a farmer who was planting seeds. Maybe you remember this parable. Maybe you guys remember. He talks about the different seeds and what happens to the seeds. And some of the seeds were suffocated. They were choked out. The life was choked out. No life came from it. They were suffocated by the thorns that were growing around them, is how it was explained. And when Jesus explained what this meant, he said they were suffocated by the cares and the worries and the concerns and the deceitfulness and the evil around them. Basically, all the things around these people's lives, it choked the life out. It suffocated them. They couldn't be who God created them to be. They couldn't fulfill the purpose God had for their life because they allowed the enemy to suffocate them. Don't let the Cains and Balaams and Korahs of the world make you bitter. That's what he's saying. Don't be suffocated. When we're suffocated, what happens is we are God's people. We are the followers of Jesus. And because of things around us, we become bitter. We become bitter. Don't let disappointments and frustrations and worries of the world suffocate you with bitterness. In spite of everything, you still be merciful. I mean, it's very easy in this life when you take a few hits and people disappoint you or people hurt you enough, if people don't show you mercy enough, it's easy to be like, I'm not showing anyone mercy anymore, right? Do you ever feel like that? Someone's just hurt you and you're like, never again, I'm not showing grace anymore. That's when you're starting to be suffocated and you've got to get away from that and breathe again. Jesus, bring me breath. In spite of everything, you still be merciful, even though they are wicked people, even though there's wicked people around you, you keep trying to save them. You keep trying to, will people hurt you? Yes. I mean, even if we've all been hurt before, it doesn't mean it's going to end. People will hurt us again. Will you live through it? Yes. I mean, that's the positive thing. People will hurt you. People will disappoint you, but you'll live through it. Will people hate you like Cain hated Abel? I mean, that's bad news, but yes, but you bless them anyway. Will people try to curse you like Balaam? Yes, but you show them mercy anyway. Will people talk about you behind your back like Korah? Yes, you forgive them anyway. Will they be stained with sin? Jude said, hate even the clothing stained by sin. Don't hate the people. Hate the sin, but don't hate the people. He's saying, will they be stained with sin? Yes, love them anyway. That's how we keep from being suffocated. When my white sofa gets a stain on it, I don't throw it out. Imagine if you came to my house, there's nowhere to sit. Where's your sofa? I spilled some coffee on it. Are you crazy? You don't just throw it out. I try to save it with some stain remover. Pastor Carey has some amazing stain remover. I mean, we use that often. Oh, gosh, I spilled some coffee. Spray the stain remover. Rub it. The stain is gone. It is like magic. Maybe Penn and Teller make it. You know, I don't throw out the sofa. I try to save it with stain remover. All of us are ambassadors of another kingdom, right? We represent the kingdom of God on the earth. We're ambassadors of his kingdom. We represent his kingdom. You are here on earth with the number one purpose to introduce the world to your king. That's our number one purpose. If anyone here wants to know what is my purpose in life, it is to introduce this world. For all of us here, it's to introduce Maidon to our king, Jesus. And our king just happens to be a stain remover. He can remove the stains from our lives. The people we share him with, he can take the stains out of their life. He can remove the sin. So don't let the enemy surprise you or stop you or suffocate you. Trust in Jesus. And then he said this, and it's our final point today. Jesus will not allow you to stumble. And that's the good news. All of these things, we're not going to be surprised. We're not going to be stopped. We're not going to be suffocated. And then here's where Jesus comes in. He will not allow you to stumble. And Jude says in verse 24, and everyone at home, if you would, go ahead and prepare your bread and juice for communion, whatever you have there, get those things ready. In Jude 24, he says, to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen. Not only will he keep you from stumbling, but he will present you faultless. He presents us with no stain. He presents us before God with no sin, blameless. Even though around us we have people who are fault finders, they'll point out all the stains on our clothing, right? But still, somehow Jesus will present us to God and there's no stain there. There's no fault, no matter what people have said, no matter what they've pointed out. And here's the beautiful part. He does it with great joy. It says he will present you before his glorious presence with great joy. Meaning, he does it. Dengan senang hati. Could you say it like that? Like he gets joy out of it. Jesus finds joy in keeping us from stumbling. I mean, he knows his purpose. He loves us so much. When he helps you, he finds joy in that. He gets joy from keeping us from stumbling. He gets joy from seeing us presented with no sin. He takes joy in removing the sin out of our life. He takes joy in teaching us how to follow him. It's such a beautiful verse that Jesus receives joy. It's his joy to do this for you because he loves you so much. Even when you fail, even when we start to trip, he's not judging us when he stops you from stumbling. It's his joy. Hey, I've been waiting here. I've been waiting to catch you. And I'm so glad I was here. It's his joy. In Hebrews 12, 2, it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And when you think of Jesus going to the cross, you don't normally associate joy with that story. But when we read Hebrews and the description of it, we see that there was joy set before him. Jesus knew there's going to be some joy coming from this. Not only the joy that it's going to bring us, there was going to be some joy for him. I'm saving these people that I love. I'm bringing them salvation. I'm going to remove the stains from their life. Because of the joy before him, he was able to endure all the pain. He was able to endure what was coming. So with that in mind, let's prepare our hearts for communion. In the Old Testament, there is a very sad story. It happened after Joshua's generation died. You know, we talked about Joshua for a few weeks. After his generation died, it says in Judges chapter 2, verses 10 through 11, after the whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. It was a lost generation. I mean, can you imagine this, especially after what we talked about with Joshua over the last several weeks, you know, a few weeks ago? All that Joshua did, all that God did for the people, and somehow when that generation died, when the Joshua generation died, the generation after them didn't know the Lord. They didn't remember. They were a lost generation. And when we see this, we know this is why Jude is warning us. This is why Jude is warning the church that there wouldn't be another lost generation. He's telling us, hey, you've got to hear this warning. You've got to remember. It's why I talked about stones for 3 weeks, you know? Joshua gathered stones. He stacked stones. We talked about how to sling stones, all of these things, because in spite of all that Joshua did, something was forgotten, and it left a generation lost. We can't allow ourselves to forget. We can't allow the next generation to forget. Let me pass out the communion for you guys. All right. I wanted to do this personally today just to follow Jesus' example because he has a servant's heart. He serves us. Jesus wouldn't be sitting back waiting for someone to bring it to him. He's a servant. He's not a selfish shepherd. And so we remember him. And I want to let anyone at home know if you haven't received Jesus in your heart, this thing that we're remembering, this moment, this event, it's remembering what Jesus has done for us so that we won't forget, so that we don't become a lost generation, so that we can't be fooled. We remember, and it's something we do as a church family to remember Jesus. Jesus even said, do this in remembrance of me. Remember me. Remember what I've done. Communion represents that Last Supper. So what I want to offer for anyone at home, if you've never asked Jesus into your heart, if you've never invited him in to be your Lord and your Savior, if you've never asked him to cleanse the stain of sin from your life, now would be the time. You can be saved right now by Jesus, and then you can share in communion with your family. So if you would, let me just ask you, if you want to accept Jesus right now, just repeat this prayer after me. Just say this prayer with me. Jesus, I am stained. I have sinned. I have done things that are wrong. I've done things that are selfish. I've done things that are against you. But I believe, Jesus, that you are the stain remover. I believe that you are the only one who can remove my stains. You have no stain because you are sinless. Jesus, we believe that you lived a sinless life, and because you are sinless, you are the only one who can remove my sin. So Jesus, I believe in you. I ask you to come into my life, save me, wash away the stain, remove the stain from my life, and allow me to be a part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that where you are, you're a part of God's family now. So what you need to do now is run very quickly and get some bread and some juice so you can have your first communion with your new family. And as we prepare for this, I just want us to remember Jesus, just for a few moments, just to remember. And here's how we're going to do this today. I want you to remember Jesus, but not for anything you're going to get from it. Don't remember Jesus like, wow, if I do this communion, something special is going to happen this week. Or let me read the scripture on here. It may be something like it's a fortune or something. These are not fortune cookies. They're just communion crackers, but they do have very cool scriptures on them, the ones we have here. But I want you to remember Jesus and not for anything you're going to get. Don't remember Jesus for a blessing. Don't remember Jesus in any kind of selfish way at all, but today I want us to just remember Jesus just to give him joy. Just to give him joy, because he takes joy in being with us. He takes joy in washing our sins away. Everything we remember that he did for us, he did it with great joy. Let's pray. Jesus, we remember you today, and we remember you simply to give you joy. Jesus, we remember you today, and not out of any kind of selfish heart, but we remember you today simply to give you glory, because you're worthy. Jesus, we remember you today, and it's not because we want anything or we're trying to receive something. Lord, today we remember you simply to show you our love. Lord, we're so thankful for you. We're so thankful for your love. We're so thankful that you don't give up on us. And when you see a stain on our life, you didn't just throw us away and decide that we were of no use or we were hopeless, Lord, but you brought hope. You cleaned us up. You did everything it took to wash our sins away. You suffered. You bled on the cross. You died. And you rose again. All of these things that happened to you, Lord, and you did it with joy, because you love us. So today we remember your love, and we remember everything you've done, and we show you our love in return. In Jesus' name, amen. This would be When I remembered this week and when I prepared for this, I couldn't stop thinking about Judas. And when we think about the Last Supper, normally when we do communion, we don't talk about Judas, right? It's the stain on the story. But I want to remember Judas today, and I want our prayer to be, may it never be me, Lord. I mean, that's the thought that I have when we read these warnings and we hear what Jude's saying and we think about that moment at the supper and Jesus is there with his disciples. Judas was sitting right there in the midst of all of them. So this is my prayer, and I would just ask everyone, pray this with me wherever you are. May it never be me, Lord. May it never be me who sits in your presence just to take everything you have to give and then betray you. Lord, may it never be me who misses the big picture and misses everything that's going on for selfish reasons, Lord. Lord, when we see Judas in that image, when we imagine that painting even and see Judas there as a stain on the entire event, Lord, I ask that you would search our hearts and cleanse us so that we would never be a stain in the feasts. Lord, that we would never be remembered as one of these who has been fooled or as foolish. But Lord, we ask that you would cleanse our hearts, Lord God. Keep our eyes focused on you. Remove any selfishness out of our hearts, Lord, so that our lives could be lived for you and that we could be focused on you. Lord, that we would continue to build ourselves up in this most holy faith. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's hold up the cracker together, and at home, whatever you have to represent the body of Jesus. Jesus, we remember your sacrifice. You sacrificed your body on the cross for us. We remember and we thank you, Lord. We love you. Let's eat the bread together. And now hold up the cup. Whatever you have at home to represent the blood of Jesus. Jesus, we remember your blood. We remember how you selflessly poured out your blood on the cross. Lord, you are not at all like Jude described those who have fallen away from the truth, who were selfish shepherds, only feeding themselves, only thinking about themselves. But you are the selfless shepherd, the shepherd who sacrifices his life for his sheep, the shepherd who gives himself for his followers and receives joy in it. Lord, we're so thankful for your blood that washes away the stain of sin from our life. We drink this, Lord, today in remembrance of you. In Jesus' name, let's drink the juice together. So Jesus, because of the warning that we've received from his word, our prayer is that we would never be fooled again. From all that we've learned from Jude, that's what I think Jesus wants for every single one of us, that we would never be fooled again. We will not be surprised. We will not be stopped. We won't be suffocated when things around us are hard or someone hurts our feelings or someone betrays us, God forbid. But because of Jesus, we will also not stumble. We will not stumble because he is with us. Lord, I pray your blessings on everyone who is here today. Lord, I pray your blessings on everyone who's joining us from home, on this family, Lord. I ask your blessings on this church family. Lord, that you would continue to lead them. Lord, that we would take in the warnings that you've given us through Jude, and this would go into our hearts and transform us, Lord. We will not be fooled by the enemy any longer because we know his tricks, we know his schemes, and we know his strategies. And Lord, we will not be led astray to become fools ourselves, Lord, but we will be focused on you. We will remember your word. We will pray according to your spirit, Lord. We will look to you and pray the things that will change this world, Lord. And we know that you will lift us up. Lord, we will remain in your love by being obedient. And Lord, we will constantly watch and wait for you. We will be ready when you come. And when you come, you will find us being busy doing your work that you've called us to. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Guys, it feels so good to have communion together and to have church together with you guys and all of you at home. I feel like I'm right there with you in your living room, and it's such a joy. Man, I've loved this study. I can't wait to see where God takes us next. I love you guys. God bless you and your family, and I'll see you next week.